and welcome to another episode of the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's win over East Fife, preview this weekend's final game of the season against Airdrie, and we'll discuss the announcement that Simon Ferry is to leave Peterhead. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. We are venturing towards the end of the season, unbelievably. I think it was a couple of weeks ago we spoke about it and didn't realise how quickly the season has gone. It's been a longer season than it has been in the last couple of years, but certainly it's gone by quick.
It's been fine to get a full season. Makes it seem longer, but at the same time it's been quite a quick season. Many highs, quite a few lows, so yeah, it's been an interesting season, but one that's, as you said, fastly approaching the end.
And for us, this is our third season, and yes, you're right, it's the first time we've had an uninterrupted full season, which is good.
Starting to think we're a bit of a jinx, getting a full season.
A full season, and then Rory McAllister leaves 6 months in as well.
Aye, it was an interesting start to it as well, but yeah, it's fine that we've had a full season. And I'll say we'll look forward to the next one.
Because it's been a full season. It's had its challenges. We've had a couple of missed weeks, but that's what happens with life, I guess.
I think during lockdown it's a lot easier. You couldn't really do anything apart from Zoom meetings. But yeah, things opened up. Life got back to what is now deemed more of a normality. There's been a few challenges, but over the piece, I think we've done not too bad to mainly get issues episodes out most weeks.
I think so. We've been all right. A little part of our back to ourselves there. Right, so let's start with Saturday's game then. East Fife, last home game of the campaign, a 1-0 win, our fourth win in five games, unbeaten in five. I think it just kind of sums up how the end of the season has been. We've looked good, and the confidence in the young players seems to be growing as the games go on as well.
I think it certainly wasn't a classic. It was two teams that, yeah, okay, we've gone on a bit of a run towards the end of the season, but it's two teams that potentially at times struggled throughout the season. But overall, I thought we played some decent stuff, and it sort of goes to what Jim's been saying for like the last 4 months. We've been playing well, but we're now getting the results to go with it. And as you said, the confidence in the young lads, you're seeing them, if their first couple of wins, they've got that confidence and a bit of swag. And we always knew that the quality was there. It was just getting that performance and the result to tie up together.
It certainly wasn't the most entertaining games. It certainly had that end of season feel about it, and it did feel as though that it was two sides that didn't have really too much to play for. Obviously, East Fife relegated, we were safe last week, but it still had that kind of feeling of two sides that were struggling and maybe in front of goal as well.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we said that on Saturday, that it was two teams that didn't really have much to play for. I'm pleased that we won the game, because as I said last week, our record against East Fife this season has been really poor, and the fact that they're bottom, we'd never beaten them, so that was fine to get that off our back as well, that we can beat the team that was struggling. As we said, it wasn't a classic performance, but again, it's another 3 points, and just keeps that confidence ticking over with the guys towards the end of the season.
For me, I think the announcement that came Saturday morning, Simon Ferry leaving, I think maybe that just overshadowed things slightly in terms of, we're building up as being his last home game. It was a game against East Fife, and all of a sudden the attention was on him. Rightly or wrongly, I don't know if that maybe affected things slightly, but I think everything was maybe more focused on him rather than, you know, the team getting that result. Maybe the timing of the announcement maybe just affected it slightly.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, whilst I expected there to be an announcement assignment at some point, I think doing it on the game day is slightly disappointing. Whether that was Simon's request or a request of the club to try and make it as under the radar as possible, I don't know. But certainly I think a player of Simon's service to the club, that should have maybe been announced after the game, in terms of making it a wee bit more special rather than doing it just like 5 hours before the game. But again, I don't know if that's Simon's request or not. But yeah, maybe just slightly deflected away from the game a little bit. I'm sure that's not Simon's intention at all, if it was the case. I think maybe slightly overshadowed everything. There's quite a few people speaking about the game You know, you've seen people, and the first thing they said, have you heard about the news, rather than the actual game. Maybe the timing, because it was really a dead rubber game, maybe that's what the club felt. But yeah, I think a player of Simon's service to the club, it maybe should have been done another night, but that's it's been done now.
Yeah, and maybe if they'd done it maybe say on a Thursday or even on a Friday, that maybe you've gotten maybe an extra 20-30 bodies into the game at the time, having it on the day. Folk have already decided what they're doing that day and things like that, but I think it maybe just kind of sums up how maybe the club do things like that, things to do sort of fly under the radar slightly with these kind of things.
Yeah, I think for you, like I said, you've got a player of Simon's service and how good he's been with us. I think it's, for me, it only seems fitting that you give him some sort of send-off that's hyping it up as such, but you know, just making that a slightly bigger deal about it. You know, it's okay putting out a tweet and a couple of things on social media, but I think if they'd done it on the Thursday night or the Friday afternoon or something, as you said, there might have been a few more folk turn up at a game, but it might not have just been the focal point of the game on Saturday. But yeah, it's been done, and I'm sure we'll touch on it later on as well.
Yeah, we will do that later on. But back onto the game then, two changes. Jason Brown was obviously suspended for that questionable red card from the week before. Ryan Duncan dropped down to the bench as well. Owen Cairns started in Jack Brown's side. So it was a slight change to what we maybe anticipated last week when we discussed how the team might line up. It was Owen Cairns that started instead of Flynn Duffy. And Jack Brown also started as well. And it was a 5-3-2, 3-5-2, however you want to look at it. Simon Ferris is a third centre-back, almost as a sweeper.
Yeah, it's slightly different. I've got to be honest, I wasn't expecting that formation and team. I thought there might have been a couple more changes, if I'm being honest. But, you know, I think Owen and Jack, who came in, did very well. You know, I think really nothing spectacular for Owen, just a nice simple game. And then also Jack got the goal as well. You know, his performances, as we mentioned, the last couple of weeks have gotten better and better.
I think it matched up with East Fife's formation because they played with a back three as well. So maybe that was with the thinking that they had, rather than try to overflow the midfield slightly, it was a case of just trying to match up with them and see how it goes.
Yeah, to be fair, it's good to see Jim that, you know, he's willing to adapt. I think I mentioned it maybe about 2 months ago now that, you know, I think we've got to be more flexible with formation changes and looking at opposition and they being, you know, scared of it and then having to go defensive and change your tactics. But just be mindful of what team you're playing against and maybe try and think of a smarter way to outplay them. So, yeah, it was good to see that Jim was willing to go with that with a 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, as you said, however you look at it.
I think the wing-back the role suits Owen more than maybe a fullback. I know that maybe sounds a bit strange considering that's maybe the role, but the roles are very different. As a wing back, you play sort of much higher, and I think he's much more suited at that rather than the right back as such.
At times, I've felt Owen's maybe better suited actually as a winger, because I do think it sometimes when he does play at right back, he sometimes gets caught under the ball quite a lot. Especially with aerial crosses and, you know, against him. Sometimes his position as well when he's the sole right back. So maybe, as you said, a wing back, winger slash sort of thing is maybe a better role for him. And that's probably why I thought he'd one of his. Yeah, like I said, not a spectacular game on Saturday. Did the simple things well. I thought it was one of his better performances. But as you said, it was a slightly more advanced position that he started in.
Yeah, Jack Brown and Nia Payne were the front two, a different partnership again. But again, we're finding Jack a player who seems to be, as the games go on, he seems to be getting better. He's finding his feet in League One. And I don't think we've found his natural position yet, but it doesn't matter where he seems to play, he seems to be effective.
I think, yeah, as we said, we're starting to see the best of him now. Took him a little while to settle in. But as you said, he's not quite got a position nailed down. I think we'll probably see more over the summer about what, you know, his natural position will be. But obviously he's made the step up from Rothes as well. It is quite a jump to go, you know, up to League One, and we're starting to see. And again, he seems to be. I'd probably put him in the like Andy McCarthy bracket in terms of consistency. He will constantly give you 7.5, 8 out of 10, and it's very rarely you'd see his performance level sort of drop. Now that I think he's got that level in him, I think we're only going to see the better of him.
And it was Jack who got the opening goal, or the only goal of the game, as it turned out, in the 11th minute. And it was really the first shot on goal. It was one of that kind of games where It was a slow starter, but the goal in the 11th minute came down the left hand side. Nia Payne, of course, was involved, as we always keep banging the Nia Payne drum every week. But again, it just sort of shows what we talk about, his movement. He was out on that left hand side starting the move that ended up with Jack scoring the opening goal.
Yeah, I think we've been banging the Nia Payne drum quite a bit, but I think when he is up top, we do seem it be the team seems to gel that a little bit better. We've got a striker that's quite mobile up front, and again, his hard work, his persistence, doing the line, got the ball into the box, and yeah, a really good finish by Jack Brown as well.
Yeah, it was a good move, because it was Nia to Jack, and then back to Nia, and then to Scott Brown, and then Jack after the flick from Scott. So it was a really good one touch individual team goal, which again we'll talk about, you know, good performances, but we've seen how well we can play in terms in that kind of positions, but this time we've found the end product.
Confidence, we've said it before, it's a massive thing in football, and you know, if you'd asked the players to do that 7 weeks ago, I don't think it would have come off. But everybody's got that confidence, things are flowing, and they look good. I mean, obviously it wasn't a spectacular game, but I thought what the boys did was good. You know, we got the just rewards with the win, and obviously it was a fine early goal as well.
And just got to say, touch on the early goal, because that just kind of sets the tone. I think the early goal helps us, much as the same as with the week before, where we get the early goal, it just lifts the confidence slightly, and it just eases us into the game. And I think from then on, we didn't look like losing it.
I think the longer the game goes, obviously 0-0, when you're needing points, you can start to sit deeper and overthink things, but with the early goal, it sort of eliminates that. Obviously, Saturday's game, there was not really much for either team to play for, but especially going back to the Dumbarton game, just briefly, the early goal helped us, because, as you said, you can sort of relax and start to play without having to worry about things too much. And I think it's been quite important the last few weeks, the early goals that we've gotten, because, as you've said, it's given us that confidence. I think had we gotten a goal down, you see the heads dropping, but even now, I think if we didn't get the early goals, I don't think the confidence would actually take a dip, because, as you said, we've actually looked quite solid at the back as well.
And we're starting to see, we kind of touched on it slightly earlier, but we're starting to see the best of Jack Brown now as well, in terms of what we saw, particularly second half as well. He's closing down, he's tracking back, he just seemed to be everywhere. And this game just seems to be, has been his best one so far. And I just think the performances are getting better and better.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like I said, I think we are starting to see the best of him now. Took him a little while to settle in. There was a few guys coming in the January window, so that everything sort of settled down. Now he seems to be in and around the team quite a lot, which is good to see. Also, he got a long contract as well, so he'll definitely be here next season. And it's good to see we're building teams around about these sort of players. And I think, we're only going to see more of him, and I think that's a good thing.
One other person that we've been praising quite a lot this season has been Brett Long, and on 25 minutes he had his first of the three or four saves he had in the game. A header at the back post, just a sort of nothing ball came in, and it was a good save, because it was almost like a reaction save.
Yeah, absolutely. We've said a few times that sometimes Brett doesn't have too much to do in a game, and it's all about concentration. And again, that's a prime example, as you said. It was a nothing ball really into the box, and he's been able to deal with it well. But again, it goes back to, we didn't really look like conceding either, which, you know, that's credit to the back line and the goalkeeper.
Andy McCarthy maybe was the only sort of blip in the game. He came off injured, looked like a hamstring. Whether or not it just kind of tightened up, we'll know later on in the week. But Brian Duncan came on. And then he went up front with Nia Payne, so it was another partner for Nia. And then Jack moved into midfield. But again, we talk about different people playing in different positions. They all seem to be comfortable in this kind of different roles, different formations.
I think it's a brilliant thing that Jim's got. You know, I'm not critical of Rusty. He, you know, he's a top goal scorer. He's a handful up front. But I think the players that you've mentioned, you've got Jack Brown, Hamish Ritchie, Nia Payne, Grant Savory, Ryan Duncan, they can all sort of link up well. They're interchanging their movement, their one touches, the flicks. and confidence. And as we said, we're starting to see the best of that. So I'm excited for next season if you can keep the core of the squad as well. And you keep the confidence level up and how they're playing, and just give them that license to play. I think Naya Payne's a key player because he can sort of, you know, link up with several different players. So yeah, I think it's good that we've got that link up play with different players.
And then the midfield that then went forward was Jack Brown, Grant Savey, and Scott Brown. I wouldn't say it's the most intimidating midfield in terms of the stature of the players. Grant and then Jack being quite slight players, but what they lack in their stature in terms of physicality, they certainly make up in terms of their skill sets.
Yeah, absolutely. Not quite sure Andy McCarthy's the most intimidating player either. He gets quite a lot of bookings. I wouldn't say he's intimidating. Yeah, you know, they're skillful players. I wouldn't say they're midfielders that would certainly put in challenges. I certainly think they're quite happy once the ball's been won to then distribute it and try something. But yeah, as you said, it's not the most intimidating trio that you would come against in League One.
Owen Cairns always had a huge opportunity midway through the first half. With a shot, it was saved by Jude Smith, and once again Naya Payne was heavily involved. Again down that right hand side this time. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago in terms of him just picking up the ball and being able to beat two or three men. He did that, gets to the byline, gets across in, and it was a I don't know if it was a combination of a good save from Jude Smith or if it was a wing back in that striker's position and not maybe snap me starts that and didn't connect with it properly.
Probably say a combination of both. Probably got a nosebleed. It was so far forward on the pitch. Nay, obviously at a comfortable position for him, but I think goalkeeper made a good save as well. Quite easy if the attacking team's caught it well. It goes in the back of the net, but no, I give keeper credit. He's made a good save.
It's a good young keeper, Jude. I think probably one of the more positive aspects of East Fife season.
Yeah.
He's got a good future ahead of him, but that was a chance to make it 2-0. But really, that was much. There wasn't much else. Second half, I think East Fife maybe got a bit more rollicking maybe at half time. They certainly seemed to be the better team second half and certainly caused us problems.
I'd agree. Yeah, I think manager wasn't happy with the first half, and it was good. They were quite passive at times in the game. I kind of didn't have to play for, but obviously you still got their future for going into League 2. You'd still think there's a few players vying to get a contract. Neither, you know, their players didn't really fill you with confidence that they were trying to achieve, but manager probably gave them a roll at half time, and as you said, they came out the better of the two teams in the second half,
and they probably should have equalised through Cunningham when he went through 1-1 with Brett. But once again, Brett showing his worth and just making himself big and making it difficult for the striker.
Yeah, as you said, probably should have scored. But credit to Brett, he wasn't called upon much in the game, but what he did well. And I think that's what, you know, again, another key thing of Brett, the concentration, and, you know, rightly made the save.
And then 69 minutes, Simon Ferry came off to a standing ovation. Along with Jack Brown, he'd obviously had a good game as well. Richie came on, Gary Fraser came on, and we reverted back to the 4-1-4-1. And it was interesting that Gary Fraser was the one that was in that Simon Ferry role, if you like. So I don't know if that's maybe a dip into the future. Maybe that's maybe where Jim sees him for next season.
I think it could potentially be. You've seen a couple of times on Saturday, he got the ball. He was quite happy to string a few passes, get the ball and then dictate play. So, yeah, could be a role that he maybe fancies for next season.
I think, you know, we haven't obviously seen him too much of him over the last year through his injury. But certainly, the player that's signed is maybe a slightly different player that we'll get now, because obviously I think his confidence is a little higher. But I think technically speaking, in terms of his distribution, his passing ability and things like that, maybe his reading of the game is maybe one of the better at the club.
I think he's a very smart football player. I kind of, that sounds daft, but you can get certain players that kind of see the bigger picture. And I think Gary Fraser is one of them that can. He's normally aware, obviously, we've seen the last couple of weeks as he's coming back from injury. He'll look to get the ball, but he's always looking before he's got the ball. I think that's an intelligent player that he's he's looking to see what he's going to do before he's even got the ball. He did that a couple of times on Saturday as well before he strung a few passes. So I think being in that Simon Ferry role with the intelligence that he's got, I think could be a key thing for us next season.
I think we were pretty much just reduced to long range efforts for the remainder of the second half. A couple of shots from range, Hamish Ritchie had one, and then Scott Brown had one. Hamish's one was fairly easy for Smith to take. Scott Brown's was way over. So I mean, that's in terms of how the game was going, there wasn't really much else in it.
It was an end-of-season game with, like as I said, neither team and nothing really to play for. I think if they won the game, it would have been one of them that would have been well down the pecking list for, you know, reviewing the end of the season. But yeah, I think it was certainly a game that neither team had run nothing to play for, and, you know, just a dead rubber end of season.
There was another one for Scott where he made the keeper save again, but again, not much else to contend with. Like, hope about Ryan Conroy, Derek Lyle, they came on as well late on. Possibly their last appearances for the club at Ballymore as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I think Dell will retire at the end of the season. I think Ryan, he hasn't played much this season with injuries, especially up until December. Struggled to really get back into the squad. And I generally think the two of them might move on in the summer.
I think the fact that, obviously, when he got injured, obviously Flynn came in, and then Rico's come in as well.
Yeah.
We've seen how well they've done. I think Rico might be, if he does stay, like, he would be the shout for that left back position. You never know, Ryan might just stay on as maybe as like a squad player. It'd still be a job.
Yeah.
But I just think it's maybe those two, that's maybe their last games.
I would think so. I think Ryan's still got the ability to play first team football. Whether that's at Peterhead or whether he decides to move on will be up to him in the summer. But if somebody said to me that Ryan Conroy will still be here the next season, certainly wouldn't be against it. I think he's a good player, especially with the left foot. I think it's a, you know, he's played at left back almost for two seasons, and obviously Flynn came in and now Rico, but I still think he can do a job on the left hand side of the pitch.
And it was fun enough, it was those two that combined to almost make it 2-0 right at the death. Ryan Conroy's cross, Derek Lyle's header come off the top of the crossbar, which I guess would have been a fairy tale way to finish it.
I think so, yeah. I think he scored the last couple of games last season, didn't he?
I did, aye.
Was one of them away to East Fife?
One was away to East Fife as well, yeah.
So, yeah, it would have been a fairy tale for him to get his last goal at Ballymore, should this be his last game. But what a terrific servant he's been.
So that win does move us up to seventh. As I said, things are going well. We're 2 points now ahead of Clyde, where many weeks we're trying to catch them. We've now catched them and overtaken them. We're a point behind Alloa in sixth, and 2 points behind Falkirk in fifth. So we've also got a bit of goal difference over those three as well. So there is an outside chance, and I say an outside chance, it is an extreme outside chance that we may finish fifth. But obviously, we've got to win our game, and things elsewhere have to go our way as well. But even if we finished above Alloa and move it to six, I think that would be a decent way to finish.
I think the way we were going in the end of February, I think staying up was a good achievement. But the fact that, as you said, it's an outside chance, a very slim chance that we could finish fifth, I think would cap off a decent season, probably a frustrating season as well, because we've shown that we can get results. We just haven't done it on a more consistent basis. But as the team becomes another year older with experience, you'd like to think that they'll improve on that. And again, it just goes back to that December, January, February period where we really struggled. If you'd picked up a couple more wins, you know, we maybe weren't as daft as what we thought in October when we said there's an outside chance of promotion playoff. Yeah. You wouldn't have been that far off, probably catching Queens, to be honest. So, yeah, it'd been a good season, but I think it would be highly unlikely that we'll finish fifth.
Queens have got Falkirk next week. Dumbarton play Clyde and Alloa at Montrose. So, I mean, a lot of those games you would suggest are much like we're giving against these five, that they're dead rubbers. The only maybe thing is Montrose and Queen's Park maybe looking to keep the form going into the playoffs. They may well rest players ahead of the playoffs, you never know. But as I said, even if we get a draw and Alloa lose, we'll go above them because of the goal difference.
Hey, I think getting anything away to Airdrie, especially with some of the results that they've put in against teams this season, but also from we were last year, there we really didn't play well. So good performance. I think if we get anything for the game, it'd be a bonus. But I'm not expecting anything from it.
Yeah, we'll come into that a little bit later. But as I said, we'll discuss the announcement that Simon Ferry is to leave Peterhead after 7 years. Currently, the longest serving player in the squad. Scott Brown's on 6 years, Jordan Brown, he's 6.5 over two spells, so it is maybe the start of that, well it certainly is the end of that kind of era of the team that got promoted back in 2014-15 and back in 14 and you know got to the Challenge Cup final and things like that, so
yeah.
There is obviously that spell is coming to an end, but he's been quite a servant over those 7 years.
Yeah, been a terrific player. You know, we've said numerous times over the last 3 years that we're a much better player with Simon Ferry in our team. And I think that goes without saying. There's a lot of people that have said that to us as well, that, you know, we're a better team for it. It'll be a shame to see him go. I did think that the injuries that he had in... there was a period of time, was it end of November, start of December, that every time he played he was coming off injured. Mm-hmm. As well, ironically he went off injured as well on Saturday, but yeah, I think you know, been a terrific servant to the club, and you know, I wish him well for whatever the future holds for him.
Yeah, he's got 197 appearances. You just think that he'd easily have gotten past that 200 mark had it not been for the injuries this season and last season as well, and he could have easily maybe pushed on to 250.
Yeah, oh absolutely. I think if it hadn't been for the amount of injuries he's had and the sort of injuries as well, yeah, I think easily he could have been on 250, especially over the 7 years that he's been at the club.
Obviously winner of the League 2 title in 2019, as I said, League Challenge Cup runner up as well. Only Jordan's is now left from that team that it started, so again that's what we'll talk about, the sort of end of that kind of chapter, moving on to new roles. But overall, Simon's got 417 appearances, 11 goals, so obviously it's been made quite abundantly clear how much his lack of goals he's got at Peterhead. He's got none, but overall in his career he doesn't get a lot of goals, but his game is so much more than that.
I think I count on one hand how many shots he's had for Peterhead, never mind the goals that he's had. Yeah, Simon does that role of the sitting in front of the back three, back four, back five, whatever it'll be, really, really well. The way he can read the game, the communication, the way he can dictate and bring other players into the game and, you know, and get the best out of them. Like I said, I think we're a much better team when he's been in the starting 11. And I think he'll be a really big miss, not only on the pitch but off the pitch as well. Some of the young lads, I think Andy McCarthy's game's gotten a lot stronger this last 2 years as well. I think that's only a coincidence that Simon's been there the majority of the time, mm-hmm. especially last season, maybe not so much this season. Yeah, it'd be a massive loss to us.
The irony, of course, is his last goal was against Peterhead for Dundee. Before he joined us in 2015, and he's been quite open in the fact that when he left Dundee after just a year, he had thoughts of just jacking it in altogether, but he was persuaded to come up to Peterhead, and 7 years later he's loved every minute of it. So it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes when your worst things can actually improve for you.
Yeah, I think he was quite disillusioned by, you know, FITBA at the time when he left Dundee, and, you know, Jim asked him to come along, and I think he's obviously delighted that he made that choice. And as you said, sometimes you just need a break, and sometimes working with somebody you got on really well with, it helps as well. And obviously him and Jim got on really, really well, and I think that goes to show they've got a good relationship, even Simon Dean, the coaching and some of the training as well. So, you know, they got on really well, and I think it's made a massive difference to the way Simon's enjoyed his football and his time at Peterhead.
He's clearly, obviously, a leader on the park. He's obviously a leader off the park as well. And you mentioned his coach, and it's no secret that a lot of people within the game are they think highly of his coaching and his methods and his ideas. So that's one aspect I think we're going to miss next season when he's not there.
Yeah, I think a lot of the players have commented as well that they enjoy his his coaching, and it's enjoyable. I think if you're going to training, you're doing it twice, sometimes even three times a week, and you're not enjoying it, you're going to fall out of love with the football very quickly. But the fact that he's made it enjoyable, that the players enjoy it, and the guys are getting the benefit of it at training, I think is a key thing, and that will be an area off the pitch that hopefully Jim's able to, get something similar in place for next season if you're losing Simon, if he's going to be moving on.
Yeah, I mean, there's players that, currently in the squad that have said that they've joined because of Simon's, or they've re-signed because of Simon's coaching and his methods. So that's, in a funny way, that's going to be a major loss in terms of trying to recruit players in the summer or in the future.
I think, obviously, we've kind of the last 3 years that there's been a lot of challenges put in front of them and the board to try and get players to come up to Peterhead. And, we hear quite a lot that a lot of the players have come up for Jim, for the type of person he is and his pedigree in the game. And you've also got Simon for his training and how the likability factor and how well you're treated. You take one of them aspects out, it's going to be difficult to try and convince good players to not only make the trip up north to play the football, every second, third week at Balmoor, mm-hmm. but to go into training as well. And I think that's going to be a big thing to try and sort out over the summer.
Yeah, but we're also losing his contacts within the game as yes. well. And sometimes him knowing somebody can bring them in.
I think if you didn't realise Simon's background and how much... I think some people just think he's only ever really played up here, but also he's been down south as well. He isn't just Dean Dundee and Peterhead, he's Swindon and everything as well, so he's got a lot of contacts in the game. And I certainly think when you're going to lose somebody who has experience on and off the pitch and the contacts that he's got as well, I think he's going to be a massive massive person to try and replace what he brings to the team.
Does the last couple of years in terms of his lack of appearances and through his injuries, which obviously it's no fault through any fault of his own, but maybe does that just in some aspect maybe just diminish his career as a whole, or do you sort of rule that out and just say, well, yeah, he's still one of the better players that we've had in the last, say, 20 years?
I certainly think he's up there with one of the better. I think the older you get as a football player, injuries sort of become part and parcel of it. I certainly think that it doesn't take away anything that he's given us. I think he's given us a terrific 7 years. It's just been unfortunate he hasn't played as much as maybe he'd have liked in the last couple of years because of injuries. But when he has played, he's always put in good performances, and I'm sure he's very proud of his career that he's had up here.
It'll certainly be a lot quieter during the games.
Because
obviously you sort of hear him just talk constantly through the games. But this is my fear of now losing him, is that we're going to lose that aspect, so we're going to lose that sort of leader on the park. I know we've got leaders. Scott's captain, Jason's a captain as well. I think McCarthy, in a funny way, is a leader as well. But these guys are more leaders in terms of doing their football, doing the talking rather than actual talking.
I think we've got, as you said, we've got leaders in the team based on performance, but I don't think we've got many in the squad that, if you're not playing well, sometimes you just need to be roared at and tell bucket your ideas. And we certainly came that Simon isn't as shy to tell somebody from their 80th thing as well. But Simon never gave, if you're a player running about Simon, he never gave you a minute's peace. He was always telling you what he wanted, what you demanded, what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you only got that player nipping your head telling you what to do, a lapse in concentration would be quite easy to happen. So as you said, I think losing him for the pitch will be a massive thing. I probably think Jason Brown would probably be your next scene in terms of that communication. You hear Jason quite a lot as well. And I think that's a good thing because, the position that he's at on the pitch, you can see the game quite well as well. So I think replacing his communication skills is going to be a huge task for Jim and the board.
In terms of that position that he plays, then can he be replaced? We mentioned earlier on that Gary Fraser might be in that kind of role, but can anybody actually do what he's been doing?
I think it'll be difficult. You've got to remember that Simon's had a lot of years doing that role. I think it'll be difficult to replace, but I certainly think Gary Fraser would maybe, he certainly got the ability to do it. And you'd hopefully that communication and the, I think, confidence, once if he's playing there a few times, Mayer, I think his confidence would build in that role. And I'm sure, obviously, Simon will give him a few tips as well.
It's such a unique role. In term, I know there are a lot of teams will play that, but you've got to be so disciplined in terms of, like, we must be so tempted just to sort of just
go for a wander.
Go forward and join attacks when it you think, oh, there's a chance here, I could maybe. But you just have to be that disciplined and that resilient just to stay in that position.
Yeah, I mean, it must be difficult. I mean, you see a lot of the time the team will try and push up. You speak about your two centre backs. They try and push up. And sometimes Simon Ferry actually ends up further back than the two centre backs, mm-hmm. because he's so disciplined and he goes, this is my area of the pitch. He's made a career of it. So I think to get somebody to come in and to do that job as disciplined as Simon is going to be a huge task.
And one other thing as well, he's such a likeable kind of guy as well. We've had many chats with him as well. In his post-match, he rattled off a few names in terms of the people that work behind the scenes. I mean, it would have been easy for him just to say, oh, I had a great career here. I had 7 years. It was magic. The players did well. Manager was great. And that would be it. But he's one of that kind of guys that always thinks about the people behind the scenes, if you like.
He's very humble. I think that was, when we first spoke to Simon, I really wasn't sure how the conversation would go, because obviously you came the open goal and everything that goes behind it, and you sort of think he's maybe the sort of guy that he would say hello to you, but he's not got really much time for volunteers and other people. But quite the opposite, actually. He's got a lot of time for everyone, and even the people that you thanked at the club, he's gone on to name them and their jobs and individuals. Very humble guy, and I think that's probably made him, I think that's why everybody likes him as well. He's had a good career, but he's not forgotten about the people that's, there was a couple of the interactions on his social media over the weekend, and he's replying to people, but he's asking about, hope they're keeping well, how they're doing. Such a simple thing to do, but again, it just shows you the sort of class that he's got, even, at the end of his career as well.
Yeah, the fact that he's actually replying to majority of them, if not them all, that was giving them well wishes as well, is something refreshing to see.
Yes, I think a lot of the time social media can be it can be a bugger for players, let's be honest. This can take a fair bit of abuse, but it is quite refreshing that there's a lot of well wishes on Simon's Twitter account mainly, but even supporters of other clubs, especially, they've seen a few Swindon ones as well, they're wishing him well for the future. That's a team he hasn't played for many a many a year. So it just shows you the rapport that he's got with our fans, clubs, and the relationships that he's built and maintained.
So it's just wait and see what the next chapter is for Simon, whatever it is. We obviously wish him well. We wish him every success, and we never know, we might see him back at Peterhead one day in a capacity of some kind.
Would you like to hazard a guess, any capacity, or just ball boy? You could come back. Yeah, it'd be good to see Simon back.
Kit man,
yeah. Good to see him back, and I'm sure we'll hear him if we didn't see him first.
Oh, absolutely. So on to the final game of the season. Incredibly, it's the final game of the season. Airdrie is away from home. We mentioned this game a few times in the last few weeks about not wanting to go down there and having to get someone out. I think that's safe to say that it's, again, almost like a dead rubber. Airdrie's obviously missed out on the title. They're obviously now focusing on the playoffs. We've maintained our status for next season. As I said, outside chance of finishing above likes of Alloa and Falkirk. But this is a team, much like Cove, we've taken no points off them this season. East Fife, we struggled as well. So maybe a chance to, I wouldn't say right many wrongs. So I think, to be fair, some of the performances against Airdrie haven't been that great. But it would be nice to at least maybe try and take a point off them.
Yeah, I'm delighted that we're going into the game. They haven't look at for other teams are doing. If we need to try and get something, I'm actually quite pleased it's a dead rubber game, because we looked at the fixtures quite a lot in the last 10 games, thinking we'd have to go to Airdrie and needing something. But as you said, it would be nice to get something for the game. Performances haven't been that great against Airdrie, especially I think the last two we've been poor in. But it would be nice to, you know, it'd be brilliant to get a win. But I think even if we got a point, I think that would sort of signify a good return in the last nine games.
We've really struggled, obviously, this season against Airdrie, but we've only got one win in the last 11 against Airdrie, so it would suggest that we're going to be waiting maybe a little bit longer. But it's 2016 since we last actually beat them away from home as well, so it is going to be a hugely difficult game. As I said, the thing that might play in our favour is the fact that Airdrie will now obviously be focusing on the playoffs. Will they be resting players? Will they be looking to keep going with the players they've got? Can keep that momentum going? They are unbeaten in I think, something like 20 games. So they'll obviously like to keep that going as well.
I don't think they're going to make that many changes, if I'm honest. I think they'll want to keep the momentum going. And I think they'll use the disappointment of not winning the title. Whilst I expected Cove to, I think I said back in January, I thought Cove would win the title. I'm surprised that Airdrie have been able to keep up with them as much as they have, to be honest. That's credit to them. But I think they'll use the disappointment and they win the title to keep the players going and keep the momentum. Because it sounds daft, but one bad result can sort of, you know, knock your confidence a little bit. And if it's a wee bit disjointed performance, I think you start to overthink things. So I think he'll might make one or two changes, but I wouldn't expect it to be the 5, 6 and 7s that some people might think for the game.
I think they've obviously they've missed out the title, but they were 5 points behind for quite a few games, and I think maybe a couple of weeks ago, maybe they felt maybe publicly they were also said we've still got a chance, but maybe just behind the scenes when we're thinking, well, we're too far away, just not enough games to catch up on, etc, etc. So maybe that disappointment maybe isn't going to be there, and it's a case of, yeah, we'll just keep the momentum going and into this last game, get the confidence high before we go into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. They'll want to go into the playoffs on good form. As you said, they don't want to get beat. You're right, the point that their form's been really good this season. So I think they'll want to keep it going. They'll want to put in a good performance for their supporters as well, and it gives them that confidence that they're in the best prepared form that can be going into the playoffs.
Changes for Peterhead then. McCarthy might be a doubt, depending on the reaction to his hamstring. Has Ferry played his last game already? We don't know. Maybe likely that he is. So a couple of changes maybe in the midfield area at least.
Yeah, I think so. Generally, wouldn't be surprised if Jim makes quite a few changes. I certainly think there's players that have been sat on the bench for a period of time that are, you know, they could be doing with a run out. Like I said last week, I think even if a player came in on Saturday and this Saturday coming, I don't think it's going to change his plans really, whether they're here next season or not. I think that has been decided. But it would be nice to see a few of the players that have been on the fringes the last wee while to get a run out.
Did Owen play on Saturday? Maybe because he was maybe looking to see how he plays again. I know he's been brought in and maybe he hasn't been playing as often as maybe what he would maybe liked, or maybe what Jimmy has maybe liked. So maybe bringing him in rather than using Flynn, just to see what he would do. So is he going to maybe do that again with some of the other players, as you said, that's been on the fringes?
Yeah, I certainly think his mind's made up about who's going to be here next season and who's not. But if he is going to change it, it would probably be just to get a final look at him. Like I said, I think he's got to change his mind, to be honest. But he might give a few of the players a run out. But I certainly think they've deserved it. There's a few guys sat on the bench, predominantly most of the season. You know, but when they have come on, they've put in a shift. They have thrown the toys at the pram and thought, well, if it's a point, I'm only getting 10 minutes here and there, and they got to be playing next week. They've come in with the right attitude, and you know they've put in the work rate. So I certainly think a few of them deserve a run out.
Well, I take it at this stage we would take a point.
Oh, absolutely! Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would take a point right now.
The only reason why I say that is because in the 28 league games that we've had, there's only been 4 draws. So the chances of a draw are slim.
They're slim. I'm never going to sit here and say we're going to get beat, but at this moment in time, I would certainly take a draw.
If we do lose the game, then, and say Clyde go on to beat Dumbarton and we slip back to eighth, it might be seen as an opportunity miss, but as we've talked about earlier on, it's that just finishing above ninth would have been a good season.
I think, yeah, I mean, you can look at it being an opportunity miss, but go back to where we were end of February. I mean, we spoke out with the recording that, you know, things looked bleak for quite a while. You struggled to see for a result was coming, for a performance was coming as well. Again, performances had been good and we weren't getting the win, but it sort of became a point every time a team took a shot against us, it went in the back of the net. We weren't defending, we struggled going forward. And I think staying in the division was important. But, you know, we've put a good run together. We had a decent run at the start of the season. It was just that middle bit. And obviously it goes down to consistency. It's a young team. But you're hoping that even with a young team next season, they've got another year under their belt. And it's just turning them, you know, a 1-0 defeat into a 1-1. You know, it can make a big difference in the division where, you know, everybody's going to be beating everybody. And it'll be even more competitive next season.
Yeah, so this season comes to a close then, and our attentions will turn to our end of season awards, which I think is going to be much more difficult to nail down in terms of, you know, our player of the year, our young player of the year, and things like that. But that's maybe a good thing, though.
Yeah, I think there's been a few players that have put their names in the hat, especially the last couple of weeks. I think it's been difficult to pick out a consistent standout performer all season. But there are certainly a few players that I've mentioned one or two at work, and a few of them have been raised a few eyebrows. So, there could be a heated discussion over the next couple of weeks whilst we decide.
So, our end of season discussion or end of season awards show could be a two parter as we try and nail it, do you?
It could be. I don't know why Derek Lyle was dismissed as quick as what it was, but it could be a two parter.
Okay, then, on that note, then, that will be it for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So, until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byles, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.